This album has been made possible through grants from the following organizations: the Institute for Yahtzee Theory, the Society for the Preservation of Spanish Rice, the Bank for People on Horseback, the Ancient and Honorable Order of Pricks, the International House of Cream and Sugar, Local 12 of the Ballbusters Union, the Laser Enema Foundation, and the National Society of Total Peckerheads.
Hey, have you noticed that you never seem to get laid much on Thanksgiving? I think it's because all the coats are on the bed. That's my job, thinking up goofy shit. Coming around every now and then, letting you know what it is. Or reminding you of things you already knew but forgot to laugh at the first time. This is my office over here. Let's face it, if this is my job, this must be my office. Looks like an office to me. Got me a little desk here. Kind of nice desk. And a chair. The chair goes with the desk, of course. You could sit on the chair at the desk if you like, making them a set. Or you can use the chair as an occasional piece. Which is nice to have in the office, I always say. Oh, yeah. Actually, this is just a place for my stuff, you know? That's all, a little place for my stuff. That's all I want, that's all you need in life is a little place for your stuff, you know? I can see it on your table. Everybody's got a little place for their stuff. This is my stuff, that's your stuff, that'll be his stuff over there. That's all you need in life, a little place for your stuff. That's all your house is, a place to keep your stuff. If you didn't have so much stuff, you wouldn't need a house. You could just walk around all the time. A house is just a pile of stuff with a cover on it. You can see that when you're taking off in an airplane. You look down, you see everybody's got a little pile of stuff. All the little piles of stuff. And when you leave your house, you gotta lock it up. Wouldn't want somebody to come by and take some of your stuff. They always take the good stuff. They never bother with that crap you're saving. All they want is the shiny stuff. That's what your house is, a place to keep your stuff while you go out and get more stuff. Sometimes you gotta move, gotta get a bigger house. Why? No room for your stuff anymore. Do you ever notice when you go to somebody else's house, you never quite feel 100% at home? You know why? No room for your stuff. Somebody else's stuff is all over the goddamn place. And if you stay overnight, unexpectedly, they give you a little bedroom to sleep in. Bedroom they haven't used in about 11 years. Someone died in it 11 years ago. And they haven't moved any of his stuff. Right next to the bed, there's usually a dresser or a bureau of some kind, and there's no room for your stuff on it. Somebody else's shit is on the dresser. Have you noticed that their stuff is shit, and your shit is stuff? Say, get that shit off of there and let me put my stuff down. Sometimes you leave your house to go on vacation, and you gotta take some of your stuff with you. Gotta take about 2 big suitcases full of stuff. When you go on vacation, you gotta take a smaller version of your house. It's the second version of your stuff. And you're gonna fly all the way to Honolulu. Gonna go across the continent, across half an ocean to Honolulu. You get down to the hotel room in Honolulu, and you open up your suitcase and you put away all your stuff. There's lots of places in the hotel room to put your stuff. Here's a place here, put a little bit of stuff there, put some stuff here, put some stuff. You put your stuff there, I'll put some stuff. Here's another place for stuff. Look at this, I'll put some stuff here. And even though you're far away from home, you start to get used to it, you start to feel okay, because after all, you do have some of your stuff with you. That's when your friend calls up from Maui and says, hey, why don't you come over to Maui for the weekend and spend a couple of nights over here?
Oh, no.
Now what do I pack? Right, you've got to pack an even smaller version of your stuff. The third version of your house. Just enough stuff to take to Maui for a couple of days. You get over to Maui. I mean, you're really getting extended now when you think about it. You got stuff all the way back on the mainland. You got stuff on another island. You got stuff on this island. I mean, supply lines are getting longer and harder to maintain. You get over to your friend's house on Maui, and he gives you a little place to sleep, a little bed right next to it. There's a windowsill or something. You put some of your stuff up there. You put your stuff up there. You got your Visine. You got your nail clippers, and you put everything up. It takes about an hour and a half, but after a while, you finally feel okay. You say, all right, I got my nail clippers. I must be okay. That's when your friend says, hey, I think tonight we'll go over the other side of the island, visit a pal of mine, and maybe stay over.
Oh, no. Now what do you pack?
Right. You gotta pack an even smaller version of your stuff. The fourth version of your house. Only the stuff you know you're gonna need. Money, keys, comb, wallet, lighter, hanky, pen, smokes, rubber, and change. Well, only the stuff you hope you're gonna need.
We'll be back to the album in just a moment, but first, these messages.
Say, why not become a schmuck? A licensed practicing schmuck. Or, if you qualify, a CPS. That's right, a certified public schmuck. You know, it may not seem like it when you look around, but there is a shortage of schmucks in today's society. And there's big money in schmuckdom. The average schmuck today earns over $34,000 a year. And there are openings for schmucks in virtually every field. The government is run by schmucks, big business is run by schmucks, and more, people are becoming schmucks on their own. You know, some guys can only manage to be schmucks on New Year's Eve, but here's your opportunity to become a full-time, year-round schmuck. Give us a call. Don't be a schmuck. Be a schmuck. Here are some notes of community interest. The Elderly Dykes Home is sponsoring their annual Tits for Tots campaign. Tonight they will be presenting a slideshow entitled The Great Cabbage Fart Panic of 1860. St. Anthony's Home for the Occasionally Coherent is holding a staring contest tonight with the proceeds to benefit the Dead People's Olympics.
Dempsey's Department Store is offering a complete line of cheap crap you don't need at extremely high prices. Come in today and be treated rudely by our poorly trained clerks. Remember, at Dempsey's, we're not just talking about inflation, we're doing something about it. We're raising our prices.
I had kind of an interesting morning, this morning. I call it interesting. I use that word because I don't have a nice day anymore. Frankly, I don't bother with them. I feel as if I've outgrown the nice day. Let someone else have a few. I've had my share. Why should I be hogging all the really nice ones? So I feel like I'm beyond the nice day now. Of course, people still want me to have one. Everybody wants me to have a nice day.
Have a nice day.
Yeah. Would you give me my fucking change, please? Some people are really insistent.
I said have a nice day!
All right, okay, goddammit, all right! That's the trouble with have a nice day. It puts all the pressure on you. Now you've got to go out and somehow manage to have a good time. All because of some loose-lipped cashier. Have a nice day. Maybe I don't feel like having a nice day. Maybe, just maybe, I've had 63 nice days in a row. And by God, I'm ready for a crappy day. Let someone wish me a crappy day. I never hear that.
Have a crappy day.
That's no problem at all. All you have to do is get up some mornings. There's no planning involved. You know the trouble with that nice day stuff for me is that word nice. It's just such a soft, kind of flabby word. You know, there's no character to it.
Nice. Isn't he nice? Oh, he is so nice. And she's nice, too. Isn't that nice?
It's like fine. How are you?
Fine.
bullshit.
Nobody's fine. Hair is fine. How's your hair? Fine. That makes a lot more sense to me.
Some guys are great. You ever hear that? How are you? Great. Isn't this great? God damn, this is great. Look, they're gonna kill that guy. Isn't that great?
Not me. I'm not nice. I'm not fine. I'm not great. People ask me how I am. I say I'm fairly decent. No superlatives. Nothing to gossip about. I say I'm relatively okay. Or moderately neato. Then they have to ask their children how I am. If I'm in a particularly jaunty mood, I'll look them right in the eye and say, I'm not unwell, thank you. Which pisses them off because they have to figure that one out for themselves.
But anyway,
got into an argument this morning with my Rice Krispies. I distinctly heard snap, crackle, fuck him. I don't know which one of them said it, you know. I was reaching for the artificial sweetener at the time and was not looking directly into the bowl. But I told them, I said, well, you can all just sit right there in the milk. Far as I'm concerned, you can sit in the milk until I find out which one of you said that. Little mass punishment for my breakfast food. The idea is to turn them against one another. Just sit in the milk. Of course, don't be me. Big punishment. That's what they do anyway. That's their job. Sitting in the milk. You've seen those Rice Krispies floating along. Little beige blisters of air. Riding proudly in the milk. But you can't sink them. They ought to use them in life jackets. That's where they need them. You can't sink Rice Krispies. They float for a long, long time. Rice Krispies would float for a week if you leave the dishes out. I do. Rice Krispies would float until you gotta knock them off the side of the bowl. What are you doing? Washing the dishes. Did you ever notice that the Rice Krispies highest on the bowl dry first? It's because they're closer to the sun. Isn't that interesting? Yes, there is a little science in the show each and every evening. But those Rice Krispies will float forever. Well, you know what they do? They gather together. They gather together in little groups. Little groups of 8, 10, 12, sometimes 14, but always an even number. Little colonies of Rice Krispies. And you can't sink them. You try to sink them with a spoon, they come up over the side. That's what the fruit is for. Sinking the Rice Krispies. A good-sized peach will take down 80 or 90 of them every time. If I'm really pissed, I'll drop a watermelon on you.
Get one now. Everybody has one. They're almost gone. They're portable, lightweight, easy to use, collapsible, convenient, and guaranteed. Get one now. The new Super Jumbo Deluxe. Handy, pre-wrapped designer colors and available in all sizes. Get one now. They won't rust, tarnish, blister, crack, or peel, but they might kill you.
Hello, I'm Howard Beamer, and I'm running for state's attorney general. This is my pledge to you. If I'm elected, I promise that if anyone breaks the law, I personally will go to his or her house and beat the shit out of them.
Backwards words say to used I. Again go I there. Shit-o. The following statement is true. The preceding statement was false. On Saturday morning, it's adventure time. Don't miss Frontier, the story of 30 people who brave bitter weather, loneliness, disease, starvation, and hostile Indians to reach Utah, only to find they don't like it there. Then it's Ranger Dan and his big dog Dick, or Ranger Dan and his big dog Dick.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're privileged to have with us a man known all over the world as the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
How are you, Jesus?
Fine, thanks, and let me say it's great to be back.
Can you tell us, after all this time, why you came back?
Mostly nostalgia.
Well, could you tell us, Jesus, a little bit about the first time you were here?
Well, it's not much to tell. I think everybody knows the story by now. I was born on Christmas.
Yes.
You know? And actually, that always bothered me, because that way I only got one present. You know, if I was born a couple of months earlier, I would have had two presents. But look, I'm not complaining. It's only material.
Were you really born in a stable?
Nah, I was born in a hospital, Bethlehem Jewish Hospital, but the hospital was located in a stable. That's how the story got started.
And is it true that there was no room at the inn?
Oh, no, they had room. It's just that we didn't have reservations. My father, Joseph, God bless him, he was a simple man. He didn't travel much. He forgot to make reservations.
There's a story that there were three wise men.
Well, it were three kings who showed up. I don't know how wise they were. They didn't look wise. They said they followed a star. That don't sound wise to me.
Didn't they bring gifts?
Yes, gold, frankincense, and I believe myrrh, which I never did find out what that was. You don't happen to know what myrrh is for, do you?
Well, I believe it's a reddish-brown bitter gum resin.
Oh, great. Great. Just what I need, a gum resin. What am I going to do with a gum resin? I'd rather have the money. That way I can go out, I could buy something I need. You know, something I wouldn't normally buy for myself.
What would that be?
Oh, I don't know, a bathing suit. I never had a bathing suit. Maybe a Devo hat. A bicycle. I really could have used a bicycle. You realize all the walking I did? Mm. I must have crossed Canaan 6-8 times, up and down, north and south, walking and talking, doing miracles, telling stories.
Tell us about the miracles. How many miracles did you perform?
A total of 107 miracles, not counting the loaves and the fishes.
Why don't you count the loaves and the fishes?
Well, technically, that one wasn't a miracle.
It wasn't?
No, it turns out a lot of people were putting them back. Didn't like them. Actually, not all those miracles were pure miracles anyway.
What do you mean? What were they if they weren't miracles?
Well, some of them were parlor tricks, optical illusions, mass hypnosis. We had hallucinations, even acupressure. That was how I cured most of the blind guys, acupressure.
So, not all of the New Testament is true.
No, some of that gospel stuff never happened at all. It was just made up. Luke and Mark used a lot of drugs. See, Luke was a physician, and he had access to drugs. Matthew and John were okay, but Luke and Mark would write anything.
What about raising Lazarus from the dead?
First of all, he wasn't dead. He was hungover. I've told people
that. But in the Bible, you said he was dead.
I said he looked dead. I said, hey, he looks dead. You see, Lazarus was a very heavy sleeper. Plus, the day before, we had been to a wedding feast, and he had put away a lot of wine.
Ah, was that the wedding feast of Cana, where you changed the water into wine?
I don't know. We went to an awful lot of wedding feasts in those days.
But did you really ever turn water into wine?
Not that I know of. One time I did turn apple juice into milk, but I really don't recall the water and wine thing.
All right. Speaking of water, let me ask you about another miracle. What about walking on the water? I mean, did that really happen?
Oh, yeah, that was one that really happened. You see, the problem was I could do it. The other guys couldn't do it. They were jealous. Peter got mad at me, so he got these special shoes made. Special big shoes. If you start out walking real fast, you can float in the water for a while. Then, of course, after a few yards, la-la-la-looms, he goes right down into the water. He sinks like a rock. That's why I call him Peter. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church.
Well, that brings up the apostles. Yeah. What can you tell us about the apostles?
Well, they were a good bunch of guys, you know. They smelled a little like bait, but, oh, they was a good bunch of guys. 13 of them we had.
13? The Bible says there were only 12.
Well, that was according to St. Luke. I told you about Luke. Actually, we had 13 apostles. We had Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, that's a different James, Thaddeus. Let's see, how many is that now?
That's 10.
Okay, Simon, Judas, and Red.
Red?
Yeah, we call him Red the Apostle.
Red the Apostle?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't appear in the Bible.
Nah, he kept pretty much to himself. He never came to any of the miracles. He was a little strange. He thought the Red Sea was named after him.
What about Judas?
Hey, don't get me started on Judas.
Okay, well, what about the other apostles? Say, for instance, Thomas. Was he really a doubter?
This guy, Thomas, you couldn't tell him nothing, you know? He's always asking me for my ID. Soon as I see him, got any ID? To this day, he doesn't believe I'm God.
Are you God?
Well, partly. You know that. I'm a member of the Trinity.
Yes. In fact, you've written a book about the Trinity, haven't you?
That's right. It's called Three's a Crowd.
Three's a Crowd. Mm-hmm. As I understand it, it's nothing more than a thinly veiled attack on the Holy Ghost.
Listen, it's not an attack. You want to know what it is? I don't get along with the Holy Ghost, all right? So I leave him alone. That's it. What he does is his business.
Well, why? What's the reason?
Well, first of all, you never know who he's going to be. Every day he shows up, he's something different. One day he comes in to meet and he's a dove. Another day he's a tongue of fire. Always fooling around. Listen, I don't bother with the guy. I don't want to know about him. I don't see him. I don't talk to him.
Well, let me change the subject. Right. Is there really a place called hell?
Oh, yeah, there's a hell, sure. There's also a heck. It's not as severe, but we got heck and hell.
What about purgatory?
No, don't know nothing about no purgatory. We got heaven, hell, heck, and limbo.
What is limbo like?
I don't know. No one's allowed in there. If anyone was in there, it wouldn't be limbo. Then it would be a place.
Getting back to your previous visit, Jesus, what can you tell us about the Last Supper?
Well, first of all, if I had known I was going to be crucified, I would have had a bigger meal. You never want to be crucified on an empty stomach.
The crucifixion must have been terrible.
It was awful, I gotta tell you. Unless you've gone through it yourself, you could never know how painful it was. And tiring. It was very, very tiring and embarrassing. I think more than anything, it was embarrassing. You know, right in front of everybody to be crucified. But I don't know, I guess it redeemed a lot of people.
Were you scared?
Yeah. Near the end, I thought it was gonna rain. I was afraid I might get hit by lightning. But all in all, I would say when I was here, I had a good time.
What do you think about Christianity?
Well, I'm a little embarrassed by it. If I had to do it over again, I think I'd start one of them Eastern religions like Buddha did. Now, Buddha was smart. That's why he's laughing.
You wouldn't want to be a Christian?
No, I would never want to be a member of any group whose symbol is a man nailed onto two pieces of wood, especially if it's me. Buddha's laughing, I'm on the cross.
I have a few more questions. Do you mind?
Hey, be my guest. How often do I get here?
Are there really angels?
Well, not as many as we used to have. Years ago, we had millions of them. Today, you can't get the young people to join, you know. It got too dangerous with radar and heat-seeking missiles.
What about guardian angels?
Well, we still have guardian angels, but now it's one angel for every six people. Years ago, everybody had his own angel.
Do you really answer prayers?
No. First of all, most of them don't even get through. I mean, you got sunspots, you got radio interference. Years ago, we answered them all, but years ago, there were less people. And people prayed for something simple then, to light a fire, to catch a yak, something like that. But today, you got people praying for hockey teams, people praying for longer fingernails. We just can't keep up with it.
Well, I think we're just about out of time. I certainly want to thank you for visiting with us.
Hey, no sweat.
Do you have any last thoughts or words of advice?
What do you mean, like how to remove perspiration stains from a garment, something like that?
No, I mean spiritual advice.
Well, I don't know how spiritual it is, but I'd say one thing is don't give your money to the church. They should be giving their money to you.
Well, thank you, Jesus, and good night.
Well, good night. Thanks for having me on here today. By the way, big bands are definitely not coming back.
Join the book club. As an introductory offer, we'll send you the following books absolutely free. Eat, Run, Stay Fit, and Die Anyway. How to Seem Intelligent. There's Big Money in Staying Put. Peace of Mind by Losing Complete Control for 16 Hours a Day. Your Thighs Control Your Life. How to Fillet a Panda. Rid Yourself of Doubt, or should you? Chances are your sister's full of shit. How to Give Yourself a Complete Physical Without Getting Undressed. 64 Good Reasons for Giving Up Hope. Why Jews Point. 100 Dead People Nobody Misses. Backpacking for Shut-Ins. My Dog is a Real Fruit. Your Shoes Are Worth Money. Reorganizing Your Pockets. What to Wear on the Toilet. 124 Simple Exercises for the Teeth. The Stains in Your Shorts Can Indicate Your Future. Tips on Getting Laid. Self-Mutilation as an Attention Getter. 600 Ways to Give People the Shaft. Tremble Your Way to Fitness. You give me 6 weeks and I'll give you some disease. And if you join today, we'll send the following books absolutely free. Poems for the Insane, A Treasury of Poorly Understood Ideas, Apartment Hunting for Devil Worshippers, a complete list of all the things that are still pending. And these books on food are yours. The Intravenous Cookbook, The Meaning of Corn, Fill Your Life with Croutons, The Food Coloring Diet, Cooking for the Paralyzed, Cooking with Heat. And if you join today, we'll send the following books absolutely free. Controlling Fear Without Getting Frightened, Things No One Can Help, Understanding People You'll Never Meet, 6 Ways to Fuck Up Before Breakfast, Marriage for One, I Suck, You Suck, Let's Change the Alphabet, Famous Bullshit Stories, Sport Fishing with Power Saws, Why Hawaii and Norway Are Not Near Each Other. And if you join today, we'll send the following books absolutely free. A List of People Who Mean Well, Don't Throw Away Your Old Skin, 10 Things We Don't Know Yet, Caring for the Seated, The Wrong Underwear Can Kill, Trotting Across Zaire, Why It Doesn't Snow Anymore, The Complete List of Everyone's Personal Effects, 6 Cities No One Has Ever Been To, I Gave Up Hope and Died and It Worked, Famous People Who Were Wiry, The Lives of 6 Extremely Short Saints, Anime Wong's Tits Are Made of Aluminum, and if you join today, we'll send the following instruction books absolutely free. how to do everything at once, how to give people your best regards, how to spoil other people's fun, how to kill a rat with an oboe, how to organize a Tupperware gangbang, how to wave goodbye without moving your arms, how to spot truly vicious people in church, how to get back from Boston, how to lease out the space inside your nose, how to get a tan with a flashlight, how to start a range war, how to spot a creep from a distance, how to give a king a really hard time, how to kill your nephew, how to become a greaseball, and how to turn unbearable pain into extra income. So call now, right now. Join the book club today.
Have you noticed that most of the women who are against abortion are women that you wouldn't want to fuck in the first place, man?
I don't know.
There's such balance in nature.
Hey, why don't you join the service? Join the fucking service. Join up and die. How do you expect to keep the country free if you won't die? I'm dead. I died in World War II. I'm fucking dead. Can you say that? Come on, join up and die.
Hello, I'm a famous person, and I'm for sale. Do you have a product or a business that needs promotion? Do you sell something worthless, something no one will buy because it's poorly built and doesn't work properly, likely to come apart at high speeds, perhaps with toxic side effects? Well, I'm here to help you. I'll take your product and I'll sell it to them because they trust me. That's right. They trust me because I'm a famous person. On Saturday afternoon, it's Galaxy of Sports. This week featuring team walking, cross-country ballroom dancing, high-speed competition skipping, tree hunting, and the newest X-rated sport from California, roller fucking. Followed by a sports movie, the story of a young man's desire to be an Olympic swimmer. Don't miss Wet Dream.
I'm the Icebox Man at our house. I'm
Icebox Man!
I answer the call when there's a need at the Icebox. Two very important responsibilities. The first one is keeping people from standing with the door to the refrigerator open for more than 45 minutes at a time. God, that gets me mad. You want to close that goddamn door, please? You want to close the door? You're letting out all of the coldness I saved overnight. Come on, close the door. You know, some guy smoked 8 joints and he's going to inventory my refrigerator. Here's $50. Get down to the Burger King. What do you got? I'll save more than that on electricity alone. Close the goddamn door, will you? Look, if you want to know what's in there, why don't you take a Polaroid picture and go away and look at the picture and then come back and figure out what you want? Years ago, we didn't have Polaroid cameras. We had to make an oil painting of what was in there. Well, I don't let it get me down, because there's a bigger responsibility, and that is getting into that refrigerator and deciding which things need to be thrown away. Most people will not take that responsibility. Most people will just go and get what they want, leave everything else alone, and say, well, someone else wants that. Someone else will eat that. Meanwhile, the thing is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and is, in fact, stuck to the rack. Well, I've got to go in there and decide when to throw things away.
Chocolate pudding? Does anyone want this last chocolate pudding? I have just one chocolate pudding left. It's only pulled away from the side of the dish about 3 inches all the way around. And there's a huge fault running through the center of the pudding. Actually, it's nothing but a ball of skin at this point. Does anyone want a ball of fault-ridden chocolate pudding skin?
I'm only going to throw it away.
Do people do that with you?
Offer you some food that if you don't eat it, they're only going to throw it away.
Well, doesn't that make you feel dandy?
Here's something to eat, Dave. Hurry up, it's spoiling. Something for you, Angela. Eat quickly. That green pot is moving. Here, Bob, eat this before I give it to an animal.
You ever been looking through the refrigerator and you come across an empty plate? Boy, that starts me to wondering. Did something eat something else? Maybe the olives ate the tuna. Maybe that chicken isn't really dead yet.
Actually, I picture a little mouse with gloves and a parka on, you know. Just waiting for the lights to go out.
Perhaps the worst thing that can happen is to reach into the refrigerator and come out with something that you cannot identify at all. You literally do not know what it is. Could be meat. Could be cake.
Usually at a time like that, I'll bluff.
Honey, is this good?
Well, what is it?
I don't know. I've never seen anything like it. It looks like meat cake.
Well, smell it.
It has absolutely no smell whatsoever.
It's good. Put it back. Somebody is saving it. It'll turn up in something.
That's what frightens me. That someone will consider it a challenge and use it just because it's in there. It's a leftover. What a sad word that is. Leftover. How would you like to be a leftover? Well, it wouldn't be bad if they were taking people out to be shot. I might even volunteer. But you know, leftovers make you feel good twice. Did you ever think about that? Leftovers give you two separate good feelings. When you first put them away, you feel really intelligent. I'm saving food. And then, after a month, when hair is growing out of them, and you throw them away, you feel really intelligent. I'm saving my life. When you make a sandwich at home, do you reach down past the first three or four pieces of bread to go down and get the good bread? It's kind of a self-preservation thing, you know? What you're really saying is, let my family eat the rotten bread. I'll take care of numero uno. And down you go into the loaf, down looking for the two that you want. A matching pair. And you have to be careful pulling them out so they don't tear. And then when you get them to the top, the upper eight slices fall the other way. I never straighten them out. I think, screw it, let them think a burglar made a sandwich.
Not my job, straightening out the bread.
Gotta tell me, in the refrigerator, who is it, please, that puts into the refrigerator the half-gallon containers of milk with only that much left in them? I get one of those every time. Hey, here's some milk. God, not enough to drink. Better put that back, huh?
I know my responsibility.
Hello, I'm a member of a new organization called the Fart Retrieval League. Do you realize that among the millions of farts which are released every day, not all of them float free? A small but significant percentage of farts is trapped forever in seat cushions all over America, hopelessly suspended in foam rubber. We ask you to please help rescue lost farts. Send your donation to the Fart Retrieval League. We will send you a booklet entitled The Facts on Farts. And say, next time you're in a hotel lobby, why not jump up and down on a seat cushion and free a fart? This Sunday, don't miss Issues and Assholes, an in-depth look at questions of public interest. This weekend, should there be gay smoking areas? Then relax as sex and sports get together on Bowling for Pussy. Hello, America. It's time to play Asshole Jack-Off Scumbag. Ladies and gentlemen, this man is a rancher, he works for an oil company, and he lives in Texas. Is he an asshole, a jack-off, or a scumbag?
This man is a lawyer. He lives on Long Island, and he's a U.S. congressman. Is he an asshole, a jack-off, or a scumbag? This man is a TV newscaster. He's from the Midwest, and he's a born-again Christian. Is he an asshole, a jack-off, or a scumbag? We'll find out today as we play Asshole, Jack-Off, Scumbag. Well, hello, everyone. I'm Bob Barlow, and it's time for another session of Asshole, Jack-Off, Scumbag. You just met our three subjects for today. Now let's meet our players, two contestants who will try to determine from the clues we give them whether our three subjects are assholes, jack-offs, or scumbags. First of all, our champion. From Short Hairs, New Jersey, she's a mother of two, and her hobby is sitting on the toilet until her legs fall asleep. Here is Ethel Schwanz. How are you today, Ethel?
Not so good, Bob. I think I'm going to start my period.
Well, that sounds interesting. What does your husband do?
My husband is dead, Bob. He was crushed in a folding couch accident.
Do you have any little Schwanzes around the house?
Well, yes, I have been blessed with two wonderful sons. My oldest boy, Elliot, is involved in charity work. Every weekend, he takes 100 senior citizens out to the country and leaves them there. And my youngest son, Jules, is currently attempting to be the first man to cross the Atlantic in a gas-filled douchebag.
Well, that sounds very interesting, Ethel. Let's meet your opponent. Your challenger is from Big Thighs, New York, a man whose job is recovering stolen religious articles. His hobby is calling up the Red Cross and telling them to go fuck themselves. Meet Eddie Doniker.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Eddie. Is your wife here today?
No, Bob, she couldn't be here. She's taking the SWAT team exam in Newark.
Well, she sounds like quite an independent lady.
That's right, Bob. She once killed a man during a sports argument.
Do you believe in women's lib?
Bob, she can do whatever the fuck she pleases.
Okay. Tell us, do you have any children?
Yes, one son, D'Artagnan, is quite a successful Mr. Potato Head salesman. Unfortunately, my other son, Winslow, a designer of custom belt loops, was sucked up into a vent this morning.
Well, that really sounds interesting, Eddie. They sound like quite a family. Okay, it's time to play Asshole, Jack-Off, Scumbag. So, let's take a look at our prizes. First of all, from Larson Luggage, a complete set of portable suitcases. Yes, now you can take it with you. Specially designed Larson Luggage has built-in handles, making it completely portable. Larson, new ideas in luggage. And our winner will need that luggage because he or she is going on an all-expense-paid vacation to Dover, Delaware. Dover, Delaware, the city that means well. You'll spend 3 days in Dover at the fabulous Fireproof Hotel. And you'll travel to Dover in this brand new wheelchair. Yes, it's the Wilson Speed Merchant 5000, the only wheelchair with a roll bar. All right, players, let's meet our first candidate as asshole, jack-off, or scumbag. Panel, this is Wayne Critter. He's a rancher and an oil man from Texas. He smokes ground beef in his pipe, and his hobby is getting in his pickup on Saturday night and running over non-whites. Ethel, you're our champion. Is Wayne Critter an asshole, a jack-off, or a scumbag?
Okay, Bob. It's definitely between asshole and scumbag. Wayne, what organizations do you belong to?
I belong to the Junior Chamber of Commerce, the Masons, and the American Legion.
Okay, Bob. Based on that answer, I'm going with asshole.
Okay, that's one vote for asshole. And now, Eddie Doniker, it's your turn. What is Wayne? Is he an asshole, a jack-off, or a scumbag?
I can settle this real easily, Bob. Wayne, what are your favorite teams in sports?
Well, I like the Dodgers in baseball and the Cowboys in football.
Okay, I agree with Ethel. He does sound like an asshole. But that answer leads me to only one conclusion. This guy is a jack-off. A real jack-off.
All right, we have one vote for jack-off and one vote for asshole. Now let's find out what he really is from one person in the position to know, his wife. Let's bring her out here, Mrs. Ola Mae Critter. How are you, Mrs. Critter?
I'm fine, Bob.
Got any little critters running around?
You mean crabs?
No, I mean children.
All our children are grown, Bob, and they all have thankless, dead-end jobs with corporations.
Well, that sounds interesting, but let's get to the main subject, your husband. As you know, our contestants have voted one vote for Jackoff and one vote for Asshole. This is the big moment, Ola May. We want you to tell us what your husband is. Is he an asshole, a jackoff, or a scumbag?
Well, Bob, when I first met him, he was a real jackoff. He did all kinds of crazy things, like he'd drink a lot of beer and then piss in your hat. A real jackoff. Then after we got married, I noticed he started turning into an asshole. After several years, he'd become a complete asshole. Then he started spending more and more time with politicians and businessmen, Bob, and they turned him into what he is today, a complete and total scumbag.
A scumbag. He's a scumbag. That means our first round is a draw. No score yet. We'll be back in a moment or two to break this tie on round two of Asshole Jackoff Scumbag.
We're Consolidated International, and we might be looking for you. Are you one of those people who show up, punch in, pitch in, put out, clean up, punch out, head home, throw up, turn in, sack out, and shut up? That's what we need. People we can keep in line. We may have a place for you. Consolidated International. People making things so people have things to do things to other people with. And thinking up more things to do with the stuff we have. And now, an announcement from the National Apple Institute.
Fuck pears.
When I was a kid, I was known as a fussy eater.
Fussy eater.
That's what they called it in my house. He's a fussy eater. Fussy eater is a euphemism for big pain in the ass. I would say,
I don't like that.
Why? They wanted reasons. Well, you don't always have a reason.
I don't know. I know I don't like it. And I know that if I ate it, I would like it even less. You like it? You eat it.
Then they would try to corner me with logic.
How do you know you don't like it if you've never even tried? It came to me in a dream.
There were some things I didn't like because of the way they sounded. I just didn't like the name of it. Imagine that. I got away with that shit for a year and a half.
Don't sound right to me, Ma. Say that again. I don't like that.
To this day, there are some things I can't eat because I don't like the way they sound. I still cannot eat
yogurt.
I can't eat anything with a Y and a G in it. Squash. You want some squash?
Shit, no!
Sounds like somebody sat on dinner, you know? How about some wheat germ?
Germ?
Horseradish. Ah! Eggplant. Well, what is it, an egg or a plant? Tell it to make up its mind and come on back. Something I don't like the sound of. Succotash.
What'd you call me, you fuck? Look out. Hey,
hey, hey. Hey, be cool. Hey, be cool. It's lima beans on corn, man. You know something else doesn't sound very right?
Head cheese.
Oh. I can't even look at the sign. I'll be down near the bologna. You look at it. Then there are some things that sound too funny to eat. Some things are too humorous to swallow. Guacamole. That sounds like something you yell when you're on fire.
Guacamole!
Well, sounds like something you can't remember the name of.
Where's that little guacamole I had here?
Something else sounds too funny to eat.
Garbanzo beans.
I mean, that's the first four letters of the word garbage in there.
Hey, did you take out the garbanzo beans?
And, of course, the funniest food, kumquats. I don't even bring them home anymore. I sit there laughing and they go to waste.
We'll be back to Fussy Eater in just a moment.
Hello, I'm Bud from Bud's Medical Center. Come on out to Bud's. We're having a special this weekend on head injuries. Any sort of head injury at all, from a black eye to a whole caved-in skull, is just $1.50 this weekend at Bud's. We'll also give a free estimate to anyone who's bleeding. If you're sick or injured or diseased or hurt or maimed or disfigured or imperfect in any way, or you just flat don't feel good, come on out to Bud's Medical Center. Bud's, where all the sick people go.
Here are some notes of community interest. The Beverly Hills Chamber of Poor Taste is sponsoring a hunger banquet, hors d'oeuvres for Bangladesh, this weekend. On Sunday evening, the National Association for the Advancement of Checkered People presents a musical review, Hats Off to the Stillborn, at the New Jersey State Hospital for the Recently All Right. Here is a reminder from the American Medical Association, don't pour sulfuric acid on your genitals.
And now, back to Fussy Eater.
Then I began to realize there were some things I didn't like because of the way they looked. That's a little more rational. The family was glad I had arrived at this new plateau.
I don't like that. That don't look right to me. Did you make that, Ma? Is there a picture of it in the cookbook? I bet it don't look like that.
Some things, let's face it, just don't look right, you know? Of course, there are some people who eat anything. I understand that. That's the other end of the spectrum. Some guys eat anything. So those guys in the Air Force.
I'll eat anything. What do you got? What is it? Never mind. Just give me some.
It's rat's asshole, Don.
Well, it sure makes a hell of a fondue.
Not me, folks. I don't eat anything I don't recognize immediately. If I've got to ask questions, fuck it. I pass, you know. I'm not here to make inquiries. I come here to goddamn eat. Now, give me something I recognize. Like a carrot. I can trust a carrot. Certain things don't look right. You ever been going down the buffet line and suddenly here's a big pile of yellow shit? Something you ain't never seen before. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to ask either. But I am going to look at it. Because other people are eating of it. And I've noticed the average pile of yellow shit on the buffet has about 5 ingredients in it. But they're all yellow. That means 4 of them gave up. Now then, there are some things I don't like the looks of, even though I know what they are. Sliced tomatoes. I just don't care for the way they look. Looks like a little pink bicycle tire, you know? Well, I don't eat bicycle tires. Why should I eat a little pink one? The real trouble with tomatoes, sliced tomatoes especially, is that they don't look like they're finished developing yet. You know, looks like they're still in the larva stage. There's thousands of seeds in there and a whole bunch of jelly-looking stuff. It's like that stuff at the end of an egg. Get it off my plate. It's slimy. And I know it's not the end of an egg. It's the beginning of a chicken. Hen cum. Ah! Oh, I'm fun in the coffee shop. Lobsters and crabs, they don't look like food to me either. Anything that's crawling toward me sideways with big pinchers, you know, hey, that don't make me hungry. In fact, my instinct is step on that fuck. Step on that big thing before he gets to the children. They look like they mean business. Frog's legs. I can never order them. I keep wondering, what did they do with the rest of the frog? What do? Do they give them little dollies and send them back out onto the street to beg? You know, try to return them to a normal life. The trouble is, the Dollies for Froggies program is underfunded. Boy, they're doing something with them. You never see it on the menu. Frog torso. and oysters. I cannot eat oysters or clams, not for the reason you mentioned, which is, but because when I look at an oyster, I think, hey, somebody lives in there. That's somebody's little house. I'm not going to break in on somebody just to eat them. Come on. We've got laws against that. That's breaking and eating, I believe. Don't get me wrong. If an oyster slips and falls out of his shell, I'll eat that motherfucker in a minute. I got no mercy on a clumsy mollusk. But I'm not going in after somebody. Hey, he might be making a pearl. He might have just brought home a Heath kit and cleaned off the tabletop. Not my job to mess with an oyster's dreams.
You've been listening to the erotic daydreams of an infant worm being sucked backwards through a French milking machine. Remember, hire the handicapped, but don't let them take your rectal temperature. Stay tuned now for Let's Injure Dave.